Boker Tov World. Today's dafim is Sechet Nedarim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Daf Samach Dalet. And we are ready to begin the new perek. And Richie is late, and Doc is nipping at his heels, and he's ready to begin. Well, there we go. Rich is going to regret this. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. We're moving on now to an entirely new subject in our Masechet, which of course is the way that the Torah actually presents the whole beginning of Nedarim. The Sugya of Nedarim in Matot is all about Hafara and is Merames Tahatara. You remember the difference between the two is that Hafara is what it is that a father or a husband does to a neder, which is that he simply cancels the neder from this point forward. A Hatara, which is done by a Chacham, that it doesn't say Beferish in the Pasuk. However, we're derishetim, obviously it's harorim atuyim b'sara, as the Mishnah puts it in Chagiga, but the idea is that since it says lo yachel devaro, it means he, the individual, made the neder, cannot get out of that neder. Lo yachel, he can't be b'chalal on his own. Aval acherim mochlim lo. Others concede to it that he can get out of it, and that's part of the essence of the neder, you see. Because we understand that in contradistinction to something which is real, which the Torah defined in a particular way as Iser, there's no way that you can go to the Pope and take a piece of chazer and say, I hereby deem thee tuna fish. So that is because it's real, as opposed to things of Avodah Zarah, which are imaginary. So over there, if it's imaginary, you can be Yotze. Okay, Hareini ke'ilu yitkabalti. Remember that that was the last things that we learned in the previous parak. You can say that, well, but that was the only point. That was the way you were thinking about it. But there are those things that the Torah allows you to create an artificial reality. And even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy about it, because we already saw Rabbi Nosson said that it's similar to Obama. It's the essence of Obama. Obama is, I have my own way of worshiping God, you know. So, okay, it's very close to Avodah Zarah. And throughout all of history, we see that constantly the Nevi'im compared the Bamot to Avodah Zarah. See, even when they were Mizgaber on Avodah Zarah, Oda Am Mizabchim Mekatrim on Mekatrim and Ali Bamot. So it was very difficult to let go of that because people have their own idiosyncratic way of looking at reality. And to them, this is reality. I'm bringing a carbon. Rabbi Nosson, you recall, just said, we've learned about this so many times, that someone who makes a neder is just in the making of the neder is kilu ban abama, and a mekaimo is kilu hikriv alei korban. So therefore, the essence of the neder, as expressed in the Torah, is the fact that it isn't real, and therefore it is possible to just go back to reality. And that's the concept of our Torah. So the way that our Torah works, what does it mean to get back to reality? Get back to reality, we know there's one way, which is called charata. So charata, remember, means that the person himself looks at himself and is like, what, are you crazy? Like, what were you thinking? So he doesn't need more than that because he's already arrived at the understanding of his own insanity. So there he just needs to have it confirmed by something external. Why? Because that's the whole point. While you're locked in your own reality, as Einstein put it, you can't use the mind that created the problem to get you out of the problem. Or the way that Gemara puts it, Ein asir matir et atzmo mi beit asurim. You are stuck. You are imprisoned in the windmills of your mind. Fine. So even for charata, where I don't even need to have the chacham engaged in the workings of my mind, which we'll see we do need in the case of a petach, but I still need confirmation by external reality. that this is the essence of the Neder and its Torah. Do you see how important that is? We're going to see that that becomes a fundamental quality of how we choose to be Mater Neder in today's Gemara. So that's called Charot. But then suppose the person is very upset at the fact that this Neder is currently exists, and he would like to get out of it. But he cannot honestly say that he's sorry he ever made it. He doesn't look back and say, I don't know what I was thinking. He does know what he was thinking. He just sorry that he was thinking it. That's a completely different issue. And therefore, we need for the Chochem to be engaged in your virtual reality. So there needs to be a theory of mind of the other. So, for instance, you see today that Ari is thinking like me. Take a look at his picture and take a look at my sweater. So you understand that the two are profoundly interrelated. This is definitely a theory of mind, Greg. Come on, Ari, are you there? We caught him out again. There it is. Okay, actually this comes from South Africa, so I'm assuming that there's some deep interrelationship. Anyway, what is that difference? So now that we have welcomed Gavi, we can restate the issues over here. So since the essence, this is extremely important, I don't want anybody to miss out on this, because this is absolutely fundamental to Nedarim. The reason that the Torah presents Nedarim, I don't think anybody really understands this. The reason that the Torah presents Nedarim, not in terms of the din of Nedarim, but in the din of how to be made for Nedarim, or to be Merami is how to be Matir Nedarim, the point of that presentation is to underline the nature of the virtuality of Nedarim. Because if Nedarim would be inescapable, then they would be the equivalent of the Inyanim of the Torah, and that would make a Boma the equivalent of the Beis HaMikdash. But the whole point is that this is an idiosyncratic, an insane way of looking at the world. That is the reason why the way that we learn out the halacha of the Chacham, who is not made for, he doesn't cancel it, but from this point forward, he uproots it from the beginning. Why do we need him in Charota? Remember, Charota as opposed to Petach means, again, this is very important, because if you don't know this difference, then you can't even be involved in a Besdin that is going to be Matir Nedarim, according to most of the poskim. So the difference is in the Charota, you are sorry you ever made this Neder. You're not sorry because of the fact that the Neder is making you unhappy now. You're looking back at yourself and thinking that you were a nut. What was I thinking to make such an insane Neder? When I allowed myself to get angry, to get resentful, to ostracize this guy, I'm embarrassed. So that type of thing, which is similar to the concept of tshuva, by the way, which is what relates the inyan of Charota on Chet and Yom Kippur to the inyan of Kol Nidre on Yom Kippur. That's not a coincidence. It's not just because it's the beginning of the year, the way people think. It's an ikar part of the way that a person is aimed on reality. So if the guy has already become aware of his nuttiness in making the Neder, why does he have to go to the Chacham? Because that's the whole point. The confirmation from external reality is what is fundamental about the Heter of the Neder. And this we were comparing to Einstein's thoughts about you cannot use the same mind that created the problem to get you out of the problem. So even though I know everything, and the reason I'm going into this in such length is because it turns out to be a fundamental issue in the Mishnah, according to the way the Gemara understands the Mishnah. Once we see it deeply in this way, we'll see what the point is. So therefore, if it comes to a petach, now a petach is very different than charata, because in charata, the guy looks back at himself, and he says, look, I understand what happened to me at that point. I can't say that I wouldn't do that again. I mean, I was absolutely infuriated, okay? But, I mean, look, you know, time passes and I don't feel the same way anymore. Yeah, okay, well, too bad. You already made the Neder. So over there, you need to discover something which, if it would be an intrusion from external reality, would have put you back on your feet at that time. So that's called a petach. A petach basically means that if somebody was whispering in your ear at that time, hey, jerk, don't you realize that such and such is probably what's going to happen, whatever that such and such is. We've seen examples of that in the Gemara before, that if it's something that you would have at that point been aware of, then you would say, oh, well, the truth is, if somebody had said that to me at that time, if I was aware of it at that time, I would never have made the neder then. So then the petach creates the equivalent of a charata, and in fact, people will actually use the petach and make it into a charata and say exactly those words. So now I'm mischaret on the neder. But that's a prat din, which we'll see as we go along. So in that case, I understand why the chacham is necessary, because he has to make you aware of something that you yourself were not aware of. Sometimes that's very difficult. We saw the cases before. I spent a whole day going through the questions. Ilu hayita, ilu hayita. Yeah, yeah, would have. Ilu hayita, yeah, yeah, would have. Okay. And even charata, which the Mishnah doesn't even talk about over here, we're talking about petach, even charata will require a chacham. And that's important to understand in order to understand the Mishnah. So, the question is, what about a very general idea that anybody is able to think of? And it's not a difficult petach to find. If you tell a person, listen, if you would have realized at the time that you're making the neder, that people will look at you as coming from a dysfunctional family, what kind of people go around making the neder? So this will reflect back on your parents, either because, as some in Mefarshim say, and it's Mashman Yerushalmi, that when people insult someone for being a jerk, they usually include their parents, right? So you'll say, you're a Zaina, Bas Zaina kind of thing, right? And over here it's a Rishia, Bar Rishia, even if the parents are wonderful people. And so this is going to reflect back on your parents, either because of that, or because of the fact that people will say, this guy never got an education. What kind of home did he grow up in? Right? So this is, again, dysfunctionality, and that's an embarrassment to your parents. Or the other approach is people will say to your parents, you know, what kind of kids do you have? So that itself is very embarrassing. So therefore, if we say to a person, look, if you would have realized how this is going to reflect on your parents, and this is a real pagam and they're covered, would you have made the neder? Now, that would be true about any neder, maybe, right? So Rabbi Eliezer says, well, that is a universal petach. So you can use that, and that's a very easy thing to do. Whereas the Chachomim say, no, you mustn't use that as a petach. Now, this is going to have to do with the issue that we discussed in the introduction, as we'll get to in the mission. What is the svar of the machlokas? Omer Rabbi Tzadok, well, if you're going to be poteach b'chvod avi ve'imo, I got a better idea. There's a more universal petach, and that is, you could be poteach with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could say, if you would have realized, so the pshat that I think is most reasonable over here is the Rosh's pshat. If you would have realized that you were being over on the Ratzon Hashem because of Ki'ilu Bon Abama itself. In other words, since Rabbi Nosson says that you think you're doing such a nice thing, and Lamaisa, yes, so does everybody who builds a bomb. They think they're doing a great thing. And when they're makrival of carbon, absolutely, oh, yes, indeed. Like the wonderful brochas, you know, that mommy gave to her wonderful son, you know, who made peso micha. Oh, what a sweet boy, you know. Ah, look at this Aveda Shamayim. Yeah, okay, so fine, this is what people think. Okay, but we tell the guy, if you would have realized that this is really what you're doing, would you have done such a thing? That's much more general than just father and mother. Maybe this guy really doesn't get along with his parents. What's he going to do? He's not going to get along with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, that's a more general one. Now, there's two ways of understanding this. One is that it's an actual extension of the idea of Reb Eliezer. The other is, which is the way the Russian other Rishonim learned, is that it's sarcastic. In other words, look, if you're going to allow that kind of opening, you might as well go for broke and allow a person to say, you know, no, if I would have realized that Kadosh Baruch Hu isn't happy, I never would have made the neder, right? But that's the whole point if we learn it as sarcastic, because the guy is not going to tell you the truth. I mean, who's going to get there and say, you know, here's the Rav of the Beis Din, and he's saying, well, ha-ha, if you would have known the din of Rabbi Nosson, would you have made the neder? And the guy's thinking, he's so damn right, I would have made the neder. No, of course not me, Chas v'Shalom. I never would have made the neder. So, I mean, how are you going to be able to rely on that kind of heter? I mean, so the same thing should be true about Avi v'Ima. So in this approach, it is a way of showing that Rebbe Eliezer is wrong. Now, of course, Rebbe Eliezer can be mechalik between saying, listen, a person, obviously, I agree with you, that he's not going to have the chutzpah to say that I would go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rotzen, and it's something that would be definitive of any possible matter. Masha Einkein, when it comes to the question of would he be willing to be mezalzel in kvod avi v'ima, the one way of understanding that is either because that's not as powerful as the kvod hamakom, or because this is no different than the question of peschim with a particular mitzvah, that in making this neder, you were going to end up missing zman kriyat shema. Would you have made that? That we say later on that you can make. We're going to see later on that people, if it's something that is not so choshev in their eyes, they'll say, well, I'm sorry to admit that, yes, I would have, you know. I do sometimes miss zman kriyat shema, you know. So I would have made the neder anyway. So some learn that that's the point, but the simple meaning is that it's not as chomer, according to Rebbe Eliezer, and therefore I'm not worried about that. So, okay, so we have two approaches. Either Reb Tzadok is serious or Reb Tzadok is being sarcastic. So, ad shepotchin lo b'chvod avi v'ima, yiftechu lo b'chvod hamakom. So therefore, it should be just as good. Says the Mishnah, this is mashma, also either way to learn. They said to him, no, you can't do that. Again, taking it seriously. Because in Cain, ain't a darim. If you're going to say that, then there's no longer such a thing as a meaningful neder. Now, the Gemara is going to explain what that means. So that would be taking him seriously. If you're taking him as sarcastic and he's asking a kasha on Reb Eliezer, then it means, well, I mean, ad kedei kach, to make it that universal, a petach, so then there Reb Eliezer is meina, that then you might as well cancel the whole dinner of the Durim because you won't find anybody who's ready to be honest about that. Now, there is, however, a place where everybody agrees that you can be poteach lo b'chvod avi v'ima, and that would be if it has to do with a neder that is affecting avi v'ima. So in other words, let's say you made a neder, I'm not letting my father borrow my car anymore, not after he smashes it up every time he borrows it, the old man don't know how to drive to save his life, right? So there, if you need to be matir that neder, well, this kid is already something of a mechutzaf, right? I mean, who answers his father with a neder to borrow his car? I mean, you know, you find an excuse, whatever. It's got a flat tire, Dad. I'm sorry. It'll be out of the garage next week, Dad. You know, whatever. And the insurance is over. There's lots of good excuses. So this guy's a chutzpanyak. So he already made a neder that affects his father and his driving, and it reflects on his parents. So he's not going to lie to you, and he'll tell you the truth. Well, in all honesty, yes, I would have made that neder. Would you lend your car to my father? No way. Okay, so therefore that, the Chachomim agree, that's like any normal petach. Okay, but to make it a universal panacea, I mean, this is like for all nedarim, that's a disaster. So we'll see why that is. We have big machlokas as to why that is. But in this particular case, modim Chachomim l'Rebbe Eliezer, that since he's already made the neder focused on that relationship, shepotchim lo b'chvod avi v'imo. So this is item number one. Now, item number two is a much more profound issue. Remember, we're talking about the idea of a petach in terms of the way that it would affect his thinking at the time of the neder. So therefore, we say to him, had you realized that, would you have made the neder? Oh, gosh, no, I wasn't aware of that at the time. I could have thought of it at the time, and I didn't. But now, suppose the thing that he wasn't aware of is something that there's no reason why he should have been aware of. In other words, there was a change in circumstance. This was the kasha, remember, that was asked before about Rabbi Akiva and Kalba Savua. The Rabbi Akiva said to him, you know, if the guy would, if you would have known the guy's a Gadol Hador, would you? So everybody asked, what do you mean? But he wasn't a Gadol Hador. He was a vicious Amoritz who was ready to bite the hand off of a Tani Talmid Chacham. So how could he have said to him, if you had realized, how would it ever have occurred to him in a million years to think of such a thing? That's a big kasha. Okay, so we had over there the Teretz that already at that time, since Rabbi Akiva had made the promise to his Rachel that he's going to be going to yeshiva and he's going to be learning, that that's not considered to be no la. That's not a new development, because we could say to Kalba Savua, listen, at the time, you weren't aware of it, but if somebody had made you aware of it and whispered in your ear and would have told you, you know, that this chosin of yours that you're making so much fun of, he's already determined that he's going to go to yeshiva. So once that's true, as Tosis explains, the idea is that, well, once somebody's going to yeshiva and he's committed, why wouldn't he become the Gadol Hador? That's the derech, is that if a person is committed to doing something, that's the chanoch l'nar al pi darko we were talking about on Hanukkah. That chinuch is pow, it's going to lead you to the end, just like Hanukkah leads to Geula. So that's not called nolad. But anything else? So let's say you assert a particular building, you can't stand walking in there. It's always so low class. Then, of course, they turn it into the shul. I mean, what else is going to be the shul? It's got to be the air raid shelter, you know? So they turn it into the shul. Now you don't have where to daven. Now, I mean, so what are we going to tell you? If you would realize that they would turn it into the shul, would you made it? How the heck is he supposed to realize they're going to turn it into the shul? Maybe Bizman Azeh, you would say that's not Neulot because it's the Derek, but fine. But that kind of thing is not a reasonable petach, because he cannot say, oh, well, if I had known that. What do you mean if you had known that? You're not Navi. I mean, what do you mean if you had known that? You never would have thought of that in a million years. So that's the question. So Rabbi Eliezer says, it doesn't matter whether you know it or not. You can be poter b'nolad, because the point of the neder is not necessarily that nolad has to turn into a charata and say, gosh, I mean, if I would have realized that at the time, even though you never would have, so I'm not really mischared on the ikur neder, but I am now mischared on the ikur neder. And since the whole point of a neder is that it's always being brought into effect as a virtual reality, so because of that, you say, what's the difference whether I actually knew it at the time? This is the point of what happens. And if a person would have a vision of reality from beginning to end, so he could say, so then I never would have made the neder, because this is reality. Fine, you're right, this is reality. The whole point of a neder is that it refuses to confront reality. So we're asking you if you would be willing to confront reality as it works its way out. So why is that not good enough to be matan the neder time, this Rabbi Eliezer? Now, he wouldn't have said this on his own, the Gemara says. It's only because he found in the Torah, Beferish, that this is the fact. And we'll see brilliantly where he found this out. So that's furthermore, he gives another big heter, potrim ben olad, whereas the Chachamim say, no, how can we poter ben olad? Ketzat. So what do we mean by nolad? Well, let's say a guy had said, Kedem shani nene li'ish ploni. And then, this is exactly the case of Kalba Savua, right? Kedem shani nene li'ish ploni. His daughter is not allowed to be nene from him. And then that person becomes a sofer. Machlokas, what this means, a sofer who writes shtarot, and you need him to write out your shtarot for you. Where Nasa Sofer means literally a Talmud Chacham, like the case of the Kalba Savua. And you need him in order to, whatever, to talk all things over with him, to come into the drasha and whatever. Or the guy made a wedding for his son. And, I mean, you think Bilbo's party was something. This guy makes weddings. He's, oh my God, if I had known he was going to make a wedding. Oh no, I'm not going to be able to attend that wedding. Oh man, you know what they're going to serve at that wedding. Anyway, so now, of course, this doesn't make sense, because why is it Neulad? I mean, people marry off kids all the time. So the Mefarshim explained, we're talking about over here, that he had made a neder, let's say, for a month. I'm not going to be neder from this guy. And then Dafka, during that month, he decides suddenly he's going to make a wedding, right? That would be the case over here. So Shoya Maisi Ad Bino. The Omar, oi, ilo ayiti yodea shunasa sofer, I would have known that this is going to be the party tree. Ushaya mesiat beno bekarov. That's why it says bekarov, because that's the point. Lo ayiti no there? That is no lot. Say the Chachomi, you can't use that. Or, the guy makes a neder, konu labayet zeshani nichnas. I'm not going to go into that machzan ever again, you know. Horrible place. And then they turn it into Beit HaKnesset. Now what's he going to do? So now it's a Beit HaKnesset. And he says, Ilo ayiti yoder, shunasa Beit HaKnesset, lo ayiti noder, that is neilat. So in all of these cases, Rebbe Eliezer Matir, the Chachamim, Osrim. Now, let's try to understand.
In the last case, you applied in the last case, it also was limited to time. In that case, it was that something that he would never disobeyed. Is that different from the first two cases?
No. The Pashtas, the cases, the Pashtas, the cases are the same. We're going to see on Ahmed Bey's in all of the, that's the whole point that the Ron says, that we repeat it again. His lashon is bishum denakit bavituma. Since we had all of these cases, and people would ask what Alon asks, that are these in fact all of the same? Yes, bekulu bavi in all of these cases. That's the whole point of the repeat at the end. So even though you could have said the differences in the level of anticipation, that nonetheless these are all included in the broad term of neilad ichita kishitato. That's how he explains, because otherwise you should ask, how come we repeat at the end? You already said Reb Eliezer is the one who's matur nechachom asrim. So after you say kesad, you repeat it again. You repeat it because it's bavituva. Now, we had in the Mishnah that Rabbi Tzadok either was seriously suggesting that you should be able to have the universal petach of, had you realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be upset about this, would you have done it? Which is a remarkable petach, because what it means is that you're going to use as a petach the concept of petach. Do you see how interesting that is? In other words, in our introduction to the Mishnah, we were aiming on the fact that the very meaning of a petach is the assertion of the difference between chinam and reality. So chinam means without any real grounding in reality. And therefore, it is not like what it means, people think it means, as we've spoken about when it comes to Tisha B'Av and so on. It's not that there's no reason. Sinas chinam means I have no reason. I have a very good reason to hate the person. What do you mean? He's an awful person, and he's hurt me, and he's done. That's not what's not sinas chinam. That's still sinas chinam. The question of what is sinas chinam is sina that doesn't have any basis in reality. Show me where it says in the Torah that this is a person you should hate. Well, it's not in the Torah, but I mean, it's human nature. Surely the Torah allows it. Thank you very much. So then we're back to Nadarim. We're back to virtual reality. So you want to live in a virtual reality, you'll get stuck there forever. You're never going to get anywhere. That's the point of the chinam in general, which of course would be true of Ahavas chinam as much as it's true of Sinas chinam. It's exactly the same problem. You cannot base yourself on your gut feelings of what's comfortable to you. Fine. So therefore, if that's the nature of a petach, that it's meant to bring you into contact with another mind, and that's why acherim erchlin lo. Well, this is your own imagination, sir. What do you mean it's my own imagination? Anybody would feel it. Really? Well, here I'm anybody, and I don't feel that way, and I don't see that it makes any sense. And what if I would have told you the way I look at it at the time? Might you have considered the fact that there's another way to see this? And so on. So a petach is an intrusion of external consciousness. Bedavka. So therefore, when we're talking about saying v'chvod shamayim, that is the intrusion of ultimate reality. So we're using the petach, the ultimate petach. It's not just that this is the universal petach. It's the ultimate petach. If you're being allowed to play games with reality by making the dorim, so how about if I would have told you that the game itself is absurd? Ooh, now that's below the belt. I mean, what am I supposed to say? I would have done it anyway. Ah, so that's exactly the question. Is the awareness that you're living in an artificial reality is that ipso facto a petach, or do we say these people are crazy enough that they would be willing to live in an artificial reality, and they, when confronted, they will say, well, of course, I didn't realize it was a virtual reality. So that's the question. When we say that to Reb Tzadik, well, I mean, if you're going to allow that, then you might as well throw out all the Nadarim, because there then ain't Nadarim. What does that mean? Well, I'm Rabbi, it means, obviously, the person before the Petach, there's still being Nadarim. I mean, why ain't Nadarim? You can't just go walk away from a Neder. You need to have the Chacham, right? So ain't Nadarim means that you will not be able to trust the din of Heter Nadarim, because people will lie. That's what ein Nadarim means. It means ein Nadarim nitarim yafet. Take a look at that implications in the Mishnah. Im kein ein Nadarim means that Nadarim and Pisrei Nadarim are so deeply interrelated that I can just say the words ein Nadarim and you understand, you know what I mean? The whole series of ideas associated with Nadarim no longer works. That's what it means. Isn't that brilliant? Okay, so then, if ein nedarim nitarim yafe means ein nedarim, because otherwise, how does ein nedarim mean ein nedarim nitarim yafe? It means just the opposite. No, that's what it means to be in the sugya of nedarim. So since a person is going to be embarrassed to say, I don't care, I would have done it anyway. No, he's not going to say that. No, of course, if I had realized, you know, with his fingers crossed behind his back, but meanwhile, he walks out of Besdin, and he thinks that the neder is mutter, but it isn't. And therefore, that's the problem. Rava says, no, that's not the issue. The issue is that once you create one universal heter, then the whole idea of heter nedarim will disappear. That's what it means. Because people will think that they can recover from virtual reality by asking themselves that question. So every time they or anybody else has ever walked into a Besdin and they've had a neder, the Besdin has asked them, would you have made a neder if you would have realized that it's entirely virtual and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks that that's insane and that you are living in a different universe than he is? Oh, I've heard that 20 times already. So then that means that it's all about asserting reality. I can do that for myself. Everybody thinks that, right? This is nogea, the whole idea of Hilchos Deis. So the Rambam says, you get this? This is astounding. The Rambam says, somebody's got a problem with his Deis. Remember, we spoke about Deis in the Chanukah year. Deis means fundamental existential vision of self in world. So he says, the Rambam, you have to go to a doctor of consciousness. Who's that? A Chacham. And continues the Rambam, and what will the Chacham tell you? And it goes through the different prescriptions that he'll tell you. So what the heck do I have to go to the Chacham for? I'm very smart. I'll open up the Rambam. And I'll do this for myself. And what if you are a Chacham? Why do you have to go to a Chacham? So the Rambam wasn't talking to Chachamim, he was only talking to idiots. That's the whole point. In the same way that you cannot be Matir and Neder for yourself by repeating the universal panacea for Nedarim, would you have made this if you... No, of course not. I have already penetrated to the fact that there is reality and that this isn't real. No, you haven't. Because you can't get yourself out of an unreality without a confirmation from outside of your insanity. So you must go to the Chacham. So in the same way that for the Neder, you have to go for the Chacham, because it's the intrusion of reality into your thinking. You can't do that for yourself. That's the brilliant thing. Therefore, Tainas Rava, Im Kein Ein Nedarim, means the issue of Petach, and the issue of needing an external consciousness, even for Charata, will disappear. Because people will think, oh, I know how to reassert reality. All I need to do is do the old thing that they do in Besdin. Had you realized that there's a big difference between Chinam and reality, would you? No, you're right, 100%. I'm back on target. Yep. This is what people do all the time. I'm back on target. So they give themselves a little mindfulness moment, you know, and now we're back on target. And they have exactly the same insane day that they had the day before. And they do exactly the same things. And they're wondering, I could have sworn I said I'm back on target this morning. And the self-help book, that's the whole point. No self-help book can be self-help because you need Sheila L'Chacham. Or you need to go to the Rofei HaNefashot, exactly. So that's the whole point. And that Nedarim teaches us about self-help. Okay, so then if that's the case, it's not going to be enough. So the one thing that is enough is keeping your fingers on the pulse so that you are aware of yourself. That's called Shom Deotav. That you do for yourself. You need to do that for yourself because your own pulse is only fully discernible by you in all of its internal implications. Fine. But that's not going to mean that you can get out of it once there's a problem. Okay, so that's the brilliant approach of Rava. The danger over here is that people think that this is a self-help issue. So Bishlama, if you need to find a petach and it's difficult, so that they understand, okay, I got to go to the Chokhov because I not really can't think of anything I would have thought of at the time. Okay, so he's going to help me, right? But if they always say the same thing, you're going to throw out the whole idea of going to a Chacham. Brilliant. Okay. So this was the Shaila in the Rambam. Does the Rambam have the right to tell you what the prescription will be? Okay. So that's the question. Do we paskin like Rava or do we paskin like Abaye in this? Okay. It gets very interesting. Yeah.
Does it have to be a Chacham
because
he's got a cross from Yeretz?
The Chacham HaNefashot, yes, but that's more complex. Yes, it has to be a Chacham for the simple reason that a psychologist lives in the same virtual reality you do. That's the real reason. He has no connection to anything that isn't Chinah. So all that he does is he has his own insanities. I mean, that's why most psychiatrists are seriously in need of a psychiatrist. I mean, I don't mean it now in a sarcastic way. I mean, it's a dover yadua. It's part of the training of psychiatrists is that they absolutely must go through therapy themselves, right? That's not just because it's a training idea. It's because you only went into psychiatry because you're insane. But the point is that it all becomes a self-supportive kind of thing, like all the deck of cards that, you know, we live with in the West. So yes, of course it requires a chacham. All right.
Those other Sagans also live in the...
It's the same house of cards that everybody supports everybody else's nuttiness. Okay, so therefore, we have a big machlokas over here about what the problem is. Is the problem that we fear for the recognition that only an external consciousness will help you, like Rava says? Or is it that we fear for the honesty of the heter? Like Abaye says. Now, it seems from the Mishnah that Abaye is right, because it says in the Mishnah that Modim Chachamim lo Rebbe Eliezer bedavar she beino levein aviv ve'imo. So if it's nogea, something between his self and his parents, that over there potrim lo bechvod aviv ve'imo. So now, if Abaye is right, and he says people will lie, and that's the whole problem, so then, in this case, it makes a great deal of sense. Why would he lie if he already smacked his father across the face by saying, my car is usher on you? I mean, okay, so he's a big chutzpanyak. So if we asked him, I mean, you don't realize that this is going to reflect on, you know, your relationship with your parents, if people are going to make fun of it. What can you do? You know, we already know what kind of kid he is. So we expect him to be honest. You'll say, yeah, I would have made the netter anyway. So that makes a heck of a lot of sense. Of course, the Chachamim are not concerned with his lying in a case where he had chutzpah already. We see that he's a chutzpanyak, so why would he lie? But according to Rava holds, if we have any type of universal, so then we've got a single key to getting out of the netter. So people will know that anything like that, I know what they're going to come and they're going to say, what about if I had realized that the world will look at me like I'm an idiot? And this, I know that it's all right, I can do that for myself. So why wouldn't the Chachamim argue? I mean, I'll try to do it for myself because it's so evident. No, that's not true. Because this is a particular, you're right. In this particular situation, the person knows what they're going to say. But, I mean, there's dozens and dozens of other times in the year when he may make an edit that has nothing to do with this. It's not a panacea. The point is Dafka, because we came up with a universal. That's the problem. This is not a universal. So the guy is used to the idea that he has to go to somebody else to help him out of his pickle. So, okay, in this case, too, it's not going to be enough to persuade him. I'll forget about the Chacham. Not true. So, therefore, it works out even according to Rava, because Kima de Kol Nidre Lo Sagilu Blav Chacham, you're not going to be able to get this as a universal. So, Achanami Potrim, in this case also, we don't have to worry that he's going to forget about the idea of the concept of HaTorah through the Chacham. Now, remember, this is also going to obviously reflect on Charata, which is a problem for Rava's approach. Because if we allow a person to be mischaret on a neder, and he comes into Besdin and he says, gentlemen, I made such and such a neder, and I realize I'm an idiot. Mutalacha, mutalacha, mutalacha. So why won't the guy end up saying, you know, the last time I realized I was an idiot, they said mutalacha, mutalacha, mutalacha. I got a brilliant idea. He sets up one of those three-piece mirrors, you know, so he's got three chachamim to talk to, you know. Hey, guys, I made an editor. I'm an idiot. Mutalakam, mutalakam. So why don't we think that in that case also he's going to end up being matashaloh pichacham? It's all very nice for a petach. You can have this discussion. What are you going to do for karata? All right, so these kind of questions we have to keep in mind over here of what is going on in this sugya, because this is amazing kind of stuff. Okay, now the next point is, this is marvelous.
Rabbi went for the drink.
The Od Amar Rabbi Eliezer. The next issue had to do with the Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer Chachamim, Potchim Benolad. Now, the Pashtus is that Nolad is certainly not usable, because if the Petach means, had you taken into consideration. But that's absurd. I wouldn't have taken it into consideration, because it's not the kind of thing that normally happens. So why are you asking me such a question? So what's Rabbi Eliezer, his thinking? I mean, does it not need to be, in fact, something that weakens the initial determination of the neder? How could it be that subsequently we can now go back in time and say, I mean, I didn't know? So we explained what Rebbe Eliezer holds, but, I mean, where do you see that that's true? The Pashtus Mitzad HaSvara would be like the Chachamim. So my time into Rebbe Eliezer, therefore the Gemara asks, how would Rebbe Eliezer have a right to the extension of the idea of a Petach to include even Nolad? Oh, is this marvelous. Omer of Chista. Well, he learned it out of a Pasuk. It's almost unbelievable, this Pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu makes a promise to Yisro, and he promises that he's going to stay there. Vayoyal Moshe Lashev is Haish, and Vayoyal is a Lashon of Shvua, right? So he makes a promise to Yisro. Yisro says, look, I don't want you to marry my daughter and move off somewhere back to Prince of Egypt kind of stuff, you know? So you got to swear to me that you're never going to leave. Okay, fine. That's part of the Vayoyal Moshe. Now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe and he tells him to go to Mitzrayim, so he says to Moshe, go to Mitzrayim, ki meitu kol anashim mevakshim et nafshecha. So, first of all, why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just tell him, go to Mitzrayim? Why is he telling him, ki meitu kol anashim? Just listen to me, you idiot. I'm telling you to go. That's good enough, right? So, for that, you could have answered, is also marvelous. The Gemara says that the idea of shluchei mitzvah einam nizokin. So the Gemara says, Eicha d'shchicha hazeka shaine. What's the raya that Eicha d'shchicha hazeka shaine? From the fact that Shmuel is told to go and to be Mosheach David to be Melech. So Shmuel asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how should I go? I'm going to get killed. Shaul's going to find out and he'll kill me. Hey, What are you, crazy? You're a Navi. God tells you directly to do something, and you're asking him, it's too dangerous. I mean, don't you think that God could figure those things out for you? Where's your bitachon? It's not an amazing story, right? No? I understand. If I had a mitzvah to do, and that mitzvah was dangerous for me to do, so it's pikuach nefesh, I don't do the mitzvah. Listening to an avias is a mitzvah. We don't have a right to say that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do something, so therefore I do something that's against another mitzvah of nishmartem od nafshotechem. I mean, like, how do I know that I have a chiyuv to listen to a navi and to listen to my own avias, but I don't have that chiyuv in this case because it's a sakonis of fashas. So therefore, I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbe, how do you explain the fact that I should do this mitzvah? It's not Esedai Chaloisos in this case. What's my heter to do it? It says V'chai Bahem. Right? That itself is amazing. Okay. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, all right, I got an idea. Here's how you could do it and not get into trouble. He doesn't say to Shmuel, don't worry, I will protect you. No. It has to work out according to the normal dinim of the Torah. You see how amazing that is? Right. Okay. Why doesn't the Gemara bring a raya from Moshe Rabbeinu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, I'm telling you to go back, but only because these people have died. And if they hadn't died, God can't protect them. God's telling Moshe, go back. So why don't we see from there that God is telling Moshe to go back is not good enough because it's Shricha Hezeka? Because Dosan Vaviram are going to go and talk to the CIA and they're going to end up getting Moshe knocked off, right? They'll squeal on him for what he did before. The cops will get Moshe. So the Gemara takes for granted that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe is that we can be matir your neder. It has nothing to do with the danger. It's not the danger. I'm not insuring him about the danger. I'm telling him, you made a neder to Yisrael. Now, I know that you're not crazy enough to make a neder to Yisroel because you want to marry his daughter. You made the neder to Yisroel because anyway, you said to yourself, I know that this is what you were thinking. Of course I'll stay here. I got nowhere else to go. I can't go back to Mitzrayim because I'll get knocked off if I go back to Mitzrayim. I've had enough of going to Cushy land. Oh, gosh, you know, I mean, Sudan. I don't want to live there, so of course, I'll stay here in Midian. It's nice. Yes, I promise I'll stay here. Of course. Where else would I go? But now I need you to go back to Mitzrayim. And I know that you never would have made the neder to Yisrael if you would have realized that these guys were going to die. Now, wait a minute. That's nolat, says Rabbi Eliezer. How could I know that these guys were going to die? And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu was matir his neder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be matir his neder shelo kedin. And he's telling Moshe that this is a good heter. Crazy. Okay. Therefore, you see from here, says Rebbe Eliezer, that you're matirin v'noilat. Come on. Nobody's smiling. Only Gavi. What's going on? This is amazing. There we go. Put Akiva next to him. Daniel, you're not smiling, and you're right underneath. All right. Why is dying nolat? Okay. That is a good question. The reason that dying is nolad is because people don't like to think about it. In other words, in dealing with reality, there's one thing that we cannot integrate into reality, and that is the fragility of existence. So nobody's going to say, well, if I had realized that the guy's going to die, why would I think he's going to die? He was there today. Shouldn't he be there tomorrow? This is an amazing thing because people will always tell you, what? He died? I just spoke to him yesterday. As if this is a question. I just spoke to the guy. No kidding. Amazing, right? So you see that people are incapable of incorporating the simplest of realities into the way that they live. So that's a given that I have to live in that type. And that's even called the ultimate reality, because that's why we call the world of our reality the Olam, because it's Ne'olam. We have to live in that pretense that it's really forever. Olam means forever. It's never forever, but we pretend it's forever, so I'm never going to think that this guy's going to die, right? So that I'm not going to take into consideration. Okay, so now, Tainas Rebbe Eliezer, Vahamita de Noladu, and you see that it was good enough for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be on Ma'atir Meisha. I love it. Okay, Mikan, Shepotchim Benolad. You see, you can be Poteach Benolad. V'rabon, and Maitamayos, how do they deal with that Pasuk? They hold that, excuse me, doesn't Vaviram died? Doesn't Vaviram didn't die? They show up again. How did they come back from the dead? There they are when they're back in Korach, and yet we know that every time it uses this lashon, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Kol Makom Shenema Nitzim, or Nitzavim. That is always a description of Nadav Vaviru. So when we talk about so when we talk about Vayetze Bayom Hasheni Vinei Shnei Anashim Ivrim Nitzim, it's exactly the same people who were the ones who in Bamidbar were Yatzu Nitzavim. So we have Datan Vaaviram Bnei Eliyav, and they come out, and it says over there that they come out and they're sitting there, and they are upright against Moshe. Same lashon. So apparently they were still around. So how do you explain that fact, that they would still be there? So must be that they never died. So how does the Kadosh Baruch Hu say that they died? It must mean that they became poor. That's what it really means. They got poor. Why? Because we know that Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, there are four things that are the equivalent of death. Kol Adam Shein Lo Banim Chashuv Shemeit, that we learn out from Rachel. Shenemar Havali Banim Vim Ayin Meitanochi. V'tanya Arba Chashuvim Kemeit. Oni Mitzora Soma Mishein Lo Banim. Oni Dechtiv Kimeitu Kol Anashim. Exactly. So Nadav, does, I keep doing that, doesn't Vaviram became poor. That's what it means. How do we know it doesn't mean one of the other things? Maybe it means they got blind. V'suma. Dechtiv b'mechashakim o'shivani kimptei olam. So somebody is dead if he's blind. Or mishen lo banim. Maybe it means they lost their children. Dechtiv avali banim. V'imayin meita anochi. I mean, maybe it means they were mitzorayim. Dechtiv alna tehi kameit. So maybe it means one of the other things. So this the Ron explained when we had this earlier. The whole point here is that Moshe Rabbeinu is being reassured that they have lost their influence. Why have they lost their influence? Because of the fact that they lost their children? Why would that make them lose their influence? That can't be what it means. Because what would it mean? That they are ill and they're in the hospital dying of cancer? No, that gives them more influence. So why would that be a reason? What does it mean? They lost their eyesight? No, they didn't, because they saved to Moshe Rabbeinu later. Even if you rip out our eyes, we ain't coming up to see you. Oh, okay, so they did have eyes, right? There's only one thing left. To lose their influence, they must have become poor. Yeah, once you're poor, nobody's interested in what you have to say. Exactly. But I'm telling you, the guy's back here and the cops should go and drop that. Fine. So if that's the case, that's what he's telling Moshe Rabbeinu. And now, there's two approaches to this. Pashat approach, which everybody except Rashi that I know of says, because it's based on the Yerushalmi, is that becoming poor is what everybody thinks about. That's not Nolad. Oh, my God, I might lose my money. What if the stock market goes down? What if the housing market crashes? That's what everybody's thinking. That's not Nolad. Death? Nobody dies. That is Nolad. Brilliant. But Rashi's approach is an amazing approach. Rashi's approach is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, ki meitu kol ha-, I mean, I'm saying Rashi, I mean the Mefarish here, that meitu kol anashim doesn't mean they died now. He means at the time that you made your neder, they had already lost their money. That's what it means. So therefore, it's not Nolad. Because if you had known the facts, so then you would never have made the neder. You could have gone back to Mitzrayim way back then. You persuaded yourself, oh, it's dangerous. Who said it's dangerous? Okay. But in any event, if, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we've now seen that the Torah is going to allow Heter Nedarim, how do we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mater Nedarim, what do you want? So that's a good raya. So therefore, it must be that Neilad is a good way to provide a petach for a neder. Gosh, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Okay, so this is like one of those really seminal kind of mishnayos that like get you into the whole sugya with a bang.